Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
Fucking terrible.
Oh, do tell.
Well.
Let me just throw this in here. Have you considered flying to Cancun?
You know, I had, but then I'll be a piece of shit who abandons my people. So why would I do that and be a giant piece of shit? Although I guess I could blame it on my children to try to save my ass if people found out. But, you know. Like,
there's so... There, okay, so... For people who don't know, Greg lives in Texas. Texas has been hit by like this awful cold front that the state wasn't prepared for.
No.
And like they got hit by one in 2011 that like just devastated the state, and they're like, hey, we should do something to make this better so it doesn't happen in the future. And then we're like, or we could deregulate things. And do nothing.
We also, so there's a funny thing that there are news stories popping up from 1989 as well, as the one you mentioned.
Yep.
And it's been the same thing. It's like, oh, we need to really work on winterizing our energy system or else we're going to have massive blackouts during like cold snaps. It happened again. Oh, we should really get on that. And we've had a decade. And, like, someone said, well, it only happens every 10 years. And I was like, I'm not sure that, like, fixes it. Because you're saying, oh, we have a preventable problem that we know when it's... Anyways. So my family is fine.
That's good. That's good. Like, so then Ted Cruz...
Yeah, Ted Cruz.
Hops on a plane to Cancun, who is the senator from Texas. And... people like post pictures of him doing videos on social media, etc. It blows up. He immediately turns around and flies back. And was like, oh, well, you know, I was going to be a good dad and escort my kids to Cancun so that they're safe while I'm in constant contact with my office. Meanwhile, he's like packing this, you know, huge suitcase for his overnight stay. And like, the thing I love about it is that, like, there's lots of things I love about it, but there's just, like, no one likes Ted Cruz.
No, he has been, like, for the last, I would say, decade, he's been widely known to be, like, the least popular senator.
Yeah, it's like, Lindsey Graham, the, like, complete, like, I won't say it to try to be a little bit more family friendly or whatever, but not exactly a paragon of character. His analysis of Ted Cruz is actually a great quote. He said that if someone murdered Ted Cruz on the Senate floor and the jury was comprised of
senators,
no one would convict the man of murder.
Yeah. I think Al Franken has a quote where he's like, I like Ted a lot more than other people, and I fucking hate him. Like, it's just like, all right, buddy.
But the part that's, like, just awesome is that even like, Ted Cruz's and his family's, like, quote-unquote friends are just, like, throwing him under the bus with wild abandon. And so, like, the New York Times has this article where, like, there's a neighborhood group text where Heidi Cruz, Ted's wife, is like, hey, you guys want to go to Cancun? And just, like, totally, like, showing what a bald-faced lie it was that, like, not only does he, like, Ted threw his family and his kids under the bus to try to, you know, make himself look better. But it was just like such a bad lie that was so easily disproven.
Yeah. And so people who go to school with his daughters have leaked the policy of the school.
Yes.
And it says that that because they went out of the country, they're going to have to quarantine for 5 days and provide a test. So they're not going to school next week either. And it's like, I just love it because, like, nobody likes Ted Cruz. That's basically like one of the problems with it. If he was a well-liked person, everybody would keep their mouth shut, you know, and it would just be like, oh, well, this is a dramatic thing. But it's like his people are turning against him because they're like, that son of a bitch. Like,
well, I don't know who his people are, but.
So anyways, I lost power for half a day, but like I've been in a good spot. We are under a boil and water advisory, but like I'm in a lot better place than a lot of people. I've had people ask me like why, because from what I can tell, most people haven't had power until today. They've like lost power for over a day. And my best assumption is that I live across the street from a fire station. And I think that we might be on the same like network thing as them, but I don't know. All I know is I'm really thankful that my kids, they had a good time. They were excited. They were like, oh, we're going to do fun things after the snow day. And like, we're going to, for them, it's all been a bit of an adventure. So it's been good.
It is kind of funny to me that like Texas being Texas is like, oh, we're going to stand on our own and we're not part of the national power grid. And then your ex-governor and ex-secretary of energy is like, we'd rather have people die than rejoin the national power grid. It's like, okay.
Yeah, we've had one mayor resign because of his bad take on this whole situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we had a mayor basically said,
like the socialism crazy. Take
it was something like he said like the government isn't there to take care of you if something goes wrong, you need to die or like take care of it yourself,
pull yourself
or die.
Up by your bootstraps, you know?
and like he had to resign like his entire, and it was like a 4,000 person town that was like, right. Yeah, fuck you, like quit, and he did, and I'm like, well, at least he knew he had to resign. But it's been bad, Jay. You know, like I drove by. It was safe to drive this morning, and I drove to get groceries. And first of all, like most of the grocery stores are closed. But I passed two plumbing stores, and there were just massive lines because so many pipes have burst that like people are just like they're trying to fix things. They're trying to get their water back on and get things back to normal. But it's who knows? So I'm as much like joking as we can do. There's also this like element of human trauma, but
right. Yeah.
I'm lucky. My kids didn't have to go cold, but like one of my friends just had a baby, and she was telling me like that basically they've made a fire and her and the baby are like 10 feet away from it.
Right.
And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I have a friend who lives in New Orleans, and their power didn't go out, but their houses aren't equipped for this either. And so they have like a little tiny space heater to heat up the whole apartment. And their apartment is like in the 30s.
Yeah. So for anybody who's kind of like confused about it, we use a shittier insulation. Because our houses are designed to stay cold, like they're designed to be cool and cold in the summer, and like we have this insulation that isn't very good at keeping heat in, and we like our power grids just shit the bed, and when it got to like 12 degrees, the heater that my apartment had just could not keep up, and it was it got so even though I had energy and everything, like my house was 50 degrees with power. So it's been a really messed up situation. Well, I was not sure we'd be able to record.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we can. I'm glad that your kids are doing okay. I put up in our Discord chat a couple of pictures from, so Brian and I have been every other day, something like that. We've been doing a drive together to get out the house, mm-hmm. pass the time, etc.
Yeah.
And also we've been doing it to like scout out potential camping spots when the weather gets nice. And so I posted pictures from a drive we did like yesterday or the day before that was about a 70 minute drive from my house up into a national forest by our house.
Nice.
So yeah.
Sounds a lot more fun than I had the last couple of days.
Yeah. I mean, I've got like our sunroom has old crappy doors that I need to replace. And that's the worst weatherproofing on our house. But mm-hmm. like overall we're a lot better equipped to deal with the cold.
Yeah, good.
It's actually been, it's weird that like Idaho kind of missed this. It must have like come down from Canada and just missed us or something. But we didn't really get hit with the really cold weather this time. There's sometimes in Idaho where we will have, obviously sometimes we have snow days, but there's some years where it's cold days
mm-hmm.
because it's like negative 20 or something outside and the kids can't go outside to the bus, or like the diesels will jail and the school buses won't be able to turn over because it's so cold outside. So
oh yeah. Ugh. Well, I hope everybody who's listening did all right and didn't have a ton of damage or problems.
Yeah, it is really sad. Like I saw on Twitter, one was like this apartment complex in Texas that had a broken pipe that was just like gushing water. And
yeah,
there was another one that was a courthouse in Texas that like the lobby was just like a pond.
It's been bad.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can stop making Ted Cruz jokes and trying to laugh about the situation instead of crying and move on and talk about comics instead of crying.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, so we're doing Guardians of the Galaxy 2013, number 5 through 10. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so let's do an overview.
Yeah. Okay, so before we do an overview of this comic, I do want to do a quick thing about Angela.
Let's.
Okay, so Angela was originally a Spawn character with Image Comics. Now, Image Comics was founded because Marvel wouldn't let creators own the characters they made. So a lot of the biggest creators were like, hey, we can't make any money working for Marvel because we don't own anything. So let's go make our own company so we own all our own characters. And then we can, you know, sell them or market them or license them, and we can actually make a profit. It worked spectacularly. The guys who created Image have almost immediately became rich because of how popular Image Comics was. And one of them was Todd McFarlane, who made Spawn, mm-hmm. who was like McFarlane was like the quintessential Spider-Man artist for years. And like he was a big name in comics. So Todd McFarlane had Neil Gaiman like come in, and he basically wrote some issues, and he created a character named Angela. And basically there's been a legal dispute for like 20 years where Todd McFarlane has tried to say that Neil Gaiman doesn't get to own Angela, that he owns Angela because it was made in I think issue 9 or issue 10 of Spawn. So basically Neil Gaiman won the character, Angela, from Todd McFarlane, who created his comic and his company specifically so creators could own their creations.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil Gaiman basically immediately turned around and sold it to Marvel. I feel like it's a big fuck you to Todd McFarlane that he did this. I wouldn't be able to tell you for sure, but like Do you know who Neil Gaiman is? Like,
he's not hurting for money.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman didn't, like, it was more the principle.
Right.
Neil Gaiman is a creative guy, and this is why Angela, like, magically appearing in the story arc we read is a big deal. Because people knew Angela was bought by Marvel, or we don't know how much for, but, like, I have a, like, pet theory that Neil Gaiman made some sort of, like, side room agreement with Marvel to, like, get something from it. But so she magically appears, and, like, for the comic readers, it's like, what the fuck, a Spawn character, you know, if you weren't paying attention to the legal news. Okay, so the comic starts with the Guardians of the Galaxy are kind of separated. It's Tony Stark, Gamora, Rocket, and Groot are in the ship. Drax and Star-Lord have kind of gone off and done something. And so from Star-Lord's side adventure, we learn that he's really bothered by something. Some, like, lightning bolt hit him, and he saw images, and it's really freaking him out. So we follow Star-Lord, who goes to Mantis, and he tries to get help figuring it out, and she basically tells him to go to Thanos, because it's some big reality-altering event, and who would know better but, you know, Thanos. And so Star-Lord goes to Thanos and is basically told, hey, you saw different realities and timelines, and it was amazing that you're still alive and sane, and what you really need to think about is the fact that, like, who fucked up reality enough to, like, cause these weird ripples? And Thanos says, it's Earth. Like, and they're doomed because of their messing with reality and their shenanigans. So with the rest of the crew, we see that they have come across this. There's like a radar around Earth. And so, like, something is heading towards Earth, something weird. And it's the crew jumps through space, and it's Angela, and they try to stop her, and they have a big fight, and they're basically getting their asses beat by Angela. And finally Star-Lord shoots her with, like, a laser element blast, and there's some, like, weird, you know, they mentioned there's, like, oh, there's, like, this weird, like, thing that happened when the lightning hit her. What's going on with that? And they also keep going, like, wow, she sure does look familiar, which I'm not sure if it's because it's like a comic book reference joke where, like, we've seen her in Spawn before, or if it's related to who her ancestry turns out to be. Which, if you play Marvel Crisis Protocol, you know she's an Asgardian, so she looks familiar because she's Thor's sister. And so the story goes on, and it's basically like they talk to Angela, and she says, oh, I'm from heaven, and, like, I thought Earth was a legend, so I want to go see Earth. And they end up basically getting tied into the Infinity storyline, where Earth is getting attacked, and they're defending Earth. They get a distress call, they go to fight the bad guy, the Badoon, I think, right, are invading the S.W.O.R.D. space station. And so they have big fights on there. And I don't feel like this is super important, but, you know, they're all defending it together. And Angela comes and is a big hero and saves the day. And it kind of wraps up with Angela has kind of joined them as a friendly guardian. And her and Gamora are hunting for clues to try to figure out where Thanos is. And then as Angela is, like, killing and maiming, one of them is like, I thought we had an agreement with your people. To which she's like, wait, what do you mean? It's like this whole, like, really, it's one of those, like, weird, funny conversations. But it's not her people from Earth. He knows her people from heaven, and he has been in contact. And then he dies. So Angela hasn't figured out what's going on or how to get get in touch with her people, because she's been completely separated from the reality of heaven, and it's heaven spelled with no A, so it's not the religious heaven. Don't worry, y'all.
That's good. I was worried about that.
Yeah, I know, right? We'd have to feel. I mean, after reading the Ghost Rider story, this is much more troubling. So it's, you know, it's kind of in the middle of stories, but this was the introduction of Angela to the Marvel Comics universe. So what do you think, Jay?
Okay, so I guess I'll just be a broken record and do my normal rant or question or whatever. But like the very first I opened up the comics and go to number 5 and
the very first appearance of Angela.
Yeah, the very first appearance of Angela. And like she just has such a stupid costume. Like I don't know what to say.
I mean, I think that's fair. I'm pulling up her first appearance because I'm pretty sure that is exactly what she looked like in her. Yep. So that is her original costume for sure. The weapons are different, but like big belt and like gold bikini and the headdress. Like the only difference is she doesn't have this weird like thing over her eyes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they really have kept the costume the same, and it's seriously dated. I think they wanted to keep that look to like tie it together. I do know that she gets several different costumes in Marvel. But like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Jay. It's the like the male gaze,
yeah,
like, eye candy thing. And I feel like really quickly they give her more of a shirt in this story arc. I'm going to have to double check. But
the other thing that was I don't know. So I read this arc and I did enjoy this arc. But by the end of the arc, one of my and maybe this is just because of like the connection I have with the MCU movies or I don't know. But by the end of the arc, I was just kind of like, I don't fully understand what is supposed to be cool about Angela after reading these 6 comics.
I mean, she chops a spaceship with an axe. She's just tough as hell.
I mean, what did Neil Gaiman create that was like so amazing that they had this fight over and that like I guess I just don't understand what's interesting about Angela.
Well, it's all right. So I mean, it's the okay. Have you listened to the Planet Money episode about Doorman?
No.
Okay. So there's if you Google Planet Money Doorman, I would highly recommend this podcast. It's a 20-minute podcast, but basically the Planet Money guys are talking about how like superheroes are this really good investment, and so they want to buy a superhero from Marvel. And the way they decided to do it is to find the like the worst hero they could find that is making Marvel no money. Marvel has never made marketing money off of this. They've never done any of this. And so they basically keep trying to contact Marvel and buy Doorman, whose power is to turn into a door. So like he's a joke. He's silly. And so they go to Marvel and they get ignored. And finally they talk to an executive at Archie Comics. And they're basically presented with this idea that Marvel and DC and all these companies will not sell characters because any of the characters could potentially like hit it big.
Right.
And the really cool example they give is of Groot, who was a old like shitty character from a goofy horror comic, which was about a dumb talking tree. And if they had sold Groot, they would have lost the opportunity to get Groot as what he is now, which is one of their most popular characters to sell to kids and stuff. So, like, I think it's kind of that. It's more the potential of we have a well-known character. We cannot lose her. I don't know. There's nothing super unique about Angela except that she kicks ass and she's like, got this look, right? She's an assassin.
It's like she is an angel from heaven, essentially, right? Right?
I mean, yeah. Like, she is a super assassin from heaven, is like the best way to put it. It's funny, I think I like her more after they fleshed out what heaven is, because heaven is this super like mercenary society. So they like are constantly backstabbing and tricking each other, and like the highest bidder gets our services kind of thing. And they're basically the opposite of what you would expect a heavenly group to be like.
Mm.
They are not friendly. They do everything for money and payment.
I guess it's also certainly the case that it could be that I just need to read more about her, et cetera. And you know, six comics isn't a ton to develop a character, et cetera. And so
no, and I feel like with Angela, they're setting up the mystery of like where she came from more.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
She wants to find out, you know, hey, my people, my heavenly group.
And I do think that like the thing they did where like, you know, Earth thinks that heaven is this myth and heaven thinks that Earth is a myth, I thought was kind of a clever little interplay that they were doing. So I did like that.
Yeah. I think this is more of a like a setup for a character.
Sure.
And I kind of agree with you though. I feel like if you didn't know the backstory about like Angela coming to Image Comics, I feel like that's part of the intrigue.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and it's with that backstory, it is kind of clever what they've done as well with the part of the storyline where they're like, you know, the Watcher is like, you know, this is portentous and awful and et cetera that she's here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're like, oh, this is the first of your kind that we've ever seen, et cetera. And so that's kind of clever writing or things to do with it as well that was kind of interesting. But again, not so much. That's not so much things about her character per se that's interesting.
Yeah, it's more about the drama of her character.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I wish like she I think basically though, your main complaint is what does Angela offer that like other combat ladies don't?
I mean, well, so if you imagine like I was Lady Justice holding up a scale, and on one side I have like this off-putting, awful costume that is weighing down one side. On the other side, like if I were to be stacking on things that make her cool, I'd be like, I'm not sure what I would be putting on there.
Yeah. You know what it just occurred to me? Her costume is really similar to the Gamora costume.
Yeah.
From the first few comics we read.
Yep, and that was really bad too.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you about it. I think that the mystery of her character is really cool. But I will say this: if you're like, well, why is she important now without the mystery? Right, knowing that she has abandoned heaven for Asgard because she has learned her ancestry, and you know she's kind of just a cool, amazing, powered like Asgardian basically. That she has that cool backstory.
Okay, let's do a little side discussion, or we can it's a topic we normally talk about, and let's I guess throw it in here and talk about the art of the comic. Yeah. And so I guess first off, part of what was maybe made it extra jarring is that, so I guess first off, there's four comics that have kind of a normal art style. And then in the middle, there's two comics interjected that have a very different stylized type of art.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a second, but I guess this first part is going to be talking about the more, I guess, normal art style. And like, I think that it's really good. I liked it a lot. And I think that, I guess, part of my issue is that, you know, if you look at like Star-Lord or Iron Man or even Gamora, they are really well drawn and I like their costumes, etc. Or the way that Iron Man doesn't really have a costume per se most of the time. But it kind of makes it so that on the so I will say on the one hand, it's not like I think that Angela has a poorly drawn face or poorly drawn body or whatever, right? But it's just that because everyone else kind of looks so much better in comparison or more normal or whatever, it's she just sticks out that much more to me in those four comics.
Gotcha.
So I guess I'm curious, what's your opinion on the art style of those four comics, and then we'll talk about the other two.
Okay. I like it. It's very classic. I guess the Marvel style, like the modern Marvel style. I like all of it. I think they every character looks pretty good. I do like, I don't know if you realize this, but like the Gamora costume that the model in MCP has is the same yep. as Gamora's wearing in some of these.
Yeah,
I did and that. I like it. I think it's great. I don't know. I like it. I think Angela looks fine in that, like, I just accept she has a stupid naked lady costume.
Right.
For me, this stuff kind of just, it rolls off my back.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe like 12-year-old Greg was titillated by it sometimes, but this is just like, eh. I wish... Like, for me, this is costumes like this are part of why I think comics don't get taken seriously.
Right. Yeah.
Even when they have amazing stories to tell. And right. I think it's also one of those things where it's like characters that look like this are an immediate turnoff to so many people.
Right.
Why that you have to recognize that, like if my daughter was old enough and wanted to read a comic, I might put that back on the shelf and try to find her something else.
Right. Yeah.
And like,
I mean, would you, when your son's old enough to read, would you?
Same thing. Yes. I just meant as like a role model. Okay. So here's a good example. There was when I was working at Dragon's Lair way back in the day, the Teen Titans cartoon was still popular. And a dad came in looking for, like, Starfire comics for his daughter. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they had rebooted it, and Starfire, like, wore a swimsuit everywhere, and she was really promiscuous. And, like, the dad was really upset. And I was like, I cannot blame you. I also cannot find a better Starfire in a new comic. But we have these, like, older, you know, Teen Titan graphic novels where she's wearing her, like, normal costumes. Like, I see it as a problem with comics in general.
Right, yeah.
Where, like, I don't know why you would do something like that. I don't know why you would make, like, a something that just so obviously will stop someone from giving it a chance. And yes, it is considered, like, in poor taste or offensive. So.
Right. So, let's talk about the other two. I guess I kind of have two complaints and then some compliments with it, I guess.
Yeah.
The first complaint is that it's just like such a tonal shift from the rest of the comic arc.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it jars you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I really like the art, but it doesn't fit.
Right.
At all.
I guess with the compliment part, like I do think there's like some really cool parts about it. And like on the backgrounds, a lot of times when there's like less detail or just kind of like shaded backgrounds, etc., I tend to not like that. Mm-hmm. But I actually thought it felt more like a stylistic choice or something that that was adding a coolness factor to it than being a bad choice with the drawing or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I thought that about it as something that was positive. The other thing that was a little bit of a negative besides kind of just like the abrupt tonal shift of the comic arc was that there were some times where like just some of the faces and the drawings mm-hmm. just didn't look very good to me.
In the
two, let me like, I
in
guess
the
let me...
Franca, the artist's name is Francavilla.
Okay.
So in the Francavilla issues, I like it. It's simplistic, though, right?
It is simplistic. That is correct, yeah.
And I think they're definitely going for a more stylized version of everything.
Yes.
And it's weird. It's more sketchy.
Yeah, it is.
It's more artistic in its color. Like, it's got lots of really bold colors, like lots of really dark shadows and like lack of detail. And that would be fine, except it's two issues in the middle of this other story about Angela coming and it, you know, what is the mystery and all this jazz.
So let me give you an example of some that like kind of stood out at me. Definitely. So if you go to issue number 8 and scroll to page 11 of 22.
Okay.
Let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
Oh, okay. So there's like drawings of, for example, Rocket wearing a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And like it just, it honestly...
His legs look weird.
Yeah, his legs are weird. His face is weird with his helmet. Like, it honestly looks more like something like they were storyboarding the comic than what the finished result is.
Yeah, all right. I see what you mean. Yeah. It's rough. And I think that I like how you said it looks like storyboarding. I think that's the problem. Yeah. It does look like it's sketched out really quick, and then they applied colors. It's a problem. I think if the entire series was in that art, it might be okay.
There is, like, if you go in that same comic, number 8, if you go to page 5, to me, this set of art works a lot better. Just because, like, if you look at Rocket, there's like pictures of Rocket, Groot, Star-Lord higher up, etc. Like, it looks a lot less to me like a storyboard and more like a finished product, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah. So I think the reason why is that there's a lot more detail when it's characters talking or close up on faces.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if it's movement or action, there's a lot less detail because the artist is trying to like focus on the movement or focus on the changes in the panels. I don't know. I think it's a good style, and I like the style, and it doesn't bother me at all. The only thing is that I think it's a choice, and I think they made something that's getting to me is that, okay, if this is part of Infinity, it probably has issues that connect to it, or like issues that are like tying in. And so can you imagine buying like a $50 like hardcover that's a collected of Infinity, these two issues randomly inside of that?
Yeah,
that's another thing that I'm like, that's weird.
Right. Like if the entire 6 comic arc was in this art style, I don't think I would have a problem with that. Other than like the few where it does feel like they maybe should have fleshed the drawing out a little bit more, but I'm also guessing that. I can't remember if, I'm assuming she is, that Angela is in these two arcs, but I'm assuming that I wouldn't have probably the issues I have with her as badly as I do in the other arcs. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess she is at the very end of that one. It does show an example of her, and she's not great, but I guess... it probably doesn't bother me as much. I don't know. Anyways, there are a lot of things I think are really cool about those two comics. So,
okay. I wish the entire arc was like this. Like I like a unique style more. And I think if this is well done, I'm looking at it with a critical eye, the more I'm like, I think. The Frank Avella did a great job. It reminds me of the Hawkeye comic we read.
Yeah,
Where it's got really simple backgrounds and then really flat colors with like shadows used to show depth. And I think it's really good. I just wish it wasn't in the middle of two, like other issues that look nothing like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it does make you look more at the what's missing than like what the style right. gives you.
Right, so. Right. That is fair. All right. Well, let's go on. What were the things that you liked about the story arc?
I like seeing a new character kind of interacting with the Guardians. I really liked how bad Tony Stark is at being with them. Like he's Tony Stark being all fish out of water was probably my favorite part.
I did kind of the scene where Rock was like, I could have told you not to, put the moves on Gamora or whatever, sleep with Gamora. Yeah. And then Tony Stark going into like his childhood fantasy of being with a green woman.
Yeah.
After watching Star Trek,
it's perfect.
That did crack me up.
Yeah, and like the part really well where done. Rock is talking about how low tech the Iron Man armor is.
Right. Yeah.
The what's this? A Sladon? What does it do? Repairs metal, like a welding torch, and it's just like a magic tool that puts metal back together.
Right.
And he's just like, oh my god, I thought it was really cool. I liked. Yeah, I just I like the idea of like a really fun team book, and that's you get that moments where like they're coming together and they're arguing. Gamora's pissed because she doesn't know where Quill is.
Yeah. Were there any things that didn't work for you?
I do feel like there's some weaknesses to this story because they're just trying to set up the Angela mystery of where mm-hmm. she came from. And it's funny because I do like that this is a spinoff of an Avengers comic where they, so the tears in reality were created from the Age of Ultron comic arc where they kept traveling back in time to try to stop Ultron from winning. And they basically, that's why they created these tears in reality that brought Angela in and like made Star-Lord see these images. So I think it's cool that we have this spinoff that is like very unexplained, and it's the mystery of Angela, like why did she come back or why did she come to Marvel through the portal or whatever. And I do like the mystery and I feel like it's awkward, like the whole thing is a little awkward. And maybe they could have done a complete story in 5 or 6 issues.
I think one of my bigger issues with it is, and this is maybe a little bit my own fault, but like when you look at the start of the comics, it will be like on when we were on issue 5 of the 6 comic arc, it was like, I think it said at the front, like, the storyline will be concluding the next episode. And then in the last one, it talks about how this comic is going to close out this arc. Mm-hmm. And like I read to the end, and I guess I was expecting like the end of the arc was a little bit anticlimactic, I guess.
Yeah, because it takes a while, and there's no wrapping it up with a bow kind of thing. It keeps going. So
yeah, it's
like the next issue is the beginning of a new crossover where the Guardians of the Galaxy crossover with the young X-Men.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it ends like I thought that there would be more about like Thanos or more about the damage to the space-time continuum or stuff like that. Right. And basically the end of it is that they're like, oh, we didn't find Thanos and he's on Earth. And the end.
Yeah, because that's in Infinity, which is a different arc.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess do you have any additional thoughts on this arc?
I think it's kind of a good representation of Marvel like crossover events where sometimes you have this awkwardness of like, oh, I don't get the full picture. I get part of the picture.
Right. And, yeah.
So as a comic book like buyer, when I would buy weekly comic books, I always felt like it was a trick to get you pulled into different directions and buy more than you normally would.
Which is probably fair, right?
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I just wish it didn't create like some of these weird disjointed stories where it's just like, well, I mean, they had Thanos, like Peter Quill had Thanos in the beginning, and I just wish that we had a more cohesive crossover when we did them, or when Marvel Comics does them, I guess. So
I guess one of my issues with it as well is, again, maybe a little bit an issue of my own expectations. So I did enjoy this arc, and I was glad that we read it. But a lot of the things, I guess what I was hoping for, or what I was expecting, was to read this arc that would, like, introduce me to Angela. And because I didn't really have any info or reason to care about her or et cetera, right? And so I wanted to get introduced to her and find reasons to be interested in her. And most of the things that I ended up finding interesting about the arc weren't her, which was unfortunate.
Gotcha.
Like I did enjoy the arc a lot, but it was you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and Tony Stark and et cetera. And
yeah.
And again, that's potentially as much because of who's been in the MCU and who hasn't. So I'm assuming that this is gonna get a thumbs up from both of us.
It's a reluctant thumbs up, I think. I know.
Okay.
I mean, it's
funny to me that it sounds like I enjoyed it more than you did.
Well, yes.
Greg, it was fine.
It was fine.
That's fair. Okay. All right. Well, next episodes, we're going to be talking about She-Hulk.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I forgot to mention why, Jay. It was the character that our community voted on.
Oh, well, excellent.
I threw up a little survey, and people, 30% of our voters wanted She-Hulk, and that was the winner.
Okay.
So we are going to be reading one of the most popular modern She-Hulk story arcs. And it is on my phone. This is great podcasting right now, isn't it, everybody?
Great,
okay,
great.
She-Hulk 2005, issues 1 through 4. So issue 4 is her 100th She-Hulk ever made. So it's like 100 pages or something. So it's longer than it sounds, just so everybody knows. Jay, you're going to love this. It's got Hawkeye.
Woo!
Yay! Jay's favorite character, everybody.
I did buy the Hawkeye comic art to give to a friend as a present. So
yay! I hope they love it.
I do too. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And again, we have adjusted our price on the podcast. And so go ahead and check it out and subscribe. And you can listen to us talk about Angela in the bonus episode for In-Game, and then talk some about WandaVision.
Yeah, and if you back us on Patreon at our new lower prices, don't forget, you also get access to our Discord channel, and you get next week's episode as well.
It's true. You get to listen to things a week early.
Shulk. It's going to be exciting. She's really fucking good.
Awesome.